So enjoy Magic Coffee by John.
About 30 years ago, I was living in Berkeley and I was moving from Pearl, and I was kind of sick of the pain of Pearl, looking for new language. And I didn't even know John Osterhout was in Berkeley, but I found his Tickle book, and I've been working with Tickle, and then first Tickle HTTP, and then Navi server now for 30 years. And I didn't really have the technical chops to contribute. And so, as some of you know, I would come and I'd make coffee for all of you. That was all I really could do. This year, I've been a bit more productive. So I actually made 8 slides that I'm going to fill with over the next 2 days. In this one, we're going to do the original talk. It's going to be 3 5-minute lightning talks about Markdown, which is not open source. It's going to be an approach that you could take. But then I'm going to talk about the OAuth2 driver I've written in Tickle and Bluetooth for Apple devices. Okay, so OS X and iOS. And let's see if this works. Cool. All right. Nope, that was the wrong one. I have to go to Markdown. Cool. So I wanted to write a content management software system. So those of you who don't know me, I run a company that makes espresso machines. So I've got 50 staff. And I want my staff to be able to rewrite the website, since I was also the webmaster. That was slowing things down. And I wanted them to use Markdown, but have it be augmented, so it could use all the widgets that our website uses. And that's what this is going to be about. So I wanted to do blogs and what we call documentation, because it turns out Google loves blogs. So if you want to be noticed on the internet, write a blog. It really sucks it up. At first, I used a bunch of conversion programs. Pandoc is what I settled on to convert Markdown to HTML. But I had many, many problems. So I actually started with the TickleLib one, and I had cases in Navi server where the threads would just go to 100%, and people would hit reload, and now I've downed my Navi server. So I switched to Pandoc, and Pandoc would sometimes just crash on certain documents. Also, I wanted to extend it, so I'd do regular expressions on its output. That was super brittle. So this is a year ago, and I thought, I wanted to simplify the Markdown to HTML conversion, not have loops. It's a really simple syntax. Why not just do a bunch of regular expressions in a row? And a year ago, I used DeepSeek to write me one. And very quickly, I found it was full of bugs. But the reason it was full of bugs was because, not DeepSeek, but the Markdown specification doesn't say what should happen if you embed one thing in another. So you have a code block, can you put bold in a code block? Well, some people say yes. What about an image in a code block? Et cetera, et cetera. Can you put a heading in a code block? And if you use regular expressions, it's very clear. You know you're not going to go in a loop. You're not going to go 100%. So these things were very simple to implement. And I wanted to be able to extend and also strip things out of Markdown, because one problem of Markdown is it uses tables. Tables are really deprecated nowadays because they don't resize well to telephones. Instead, there's this new approach where you have auto-sizing rectangles, and I use code blocks to define those. So here's regular expressions, right? You can see how simple they are. Now, the AI wrote this stuff just fine because other people have implemented it. All it is a straightforward translation approach. But I immediately took over the code because the AI just made a mess as I tried to revision. So I liked having about 20 regular expressions written for me by the AI and then stop. Now I take over and I fix the bugs. Extending Markdown in a way that didn't expose security bugs was interesting. And Navi server gave me a way that worked really well. Initially, I allowed people to put bracket code in and then just do subst on it, and that was a security disaster. So instead, I quote everything inside the Markdown as potentially hostile. this is my user interface, I hit search, you know, there's an espresso machine, there's a scale. And how Bluetooth works. But bottom line is, you've got Bluetooth, you connect, you subscribe to things like, I want to know when the weight changes, a button was pressed, or you send things to the Bluetooth device. It's a very simple API. But in the end, what we've got is a Bluetooth API in Tickle that is the one that Christian Werner created. So if you write code for AndroWish that does Bluetooth, it will work without modification at all on Apple devices. It actually works significantly more reliably than on Android, which is kind of funny. And 10 hertz is typically what it does. There it is running. That's, well, that's actually an Android running there over Bluetooth. Okay, that's that. And my quick demo, let's see if I can make it work. Oh no, we couldn't make the screen work, could we? Was there any, is there a reason the screen doesn't show from here to there? Do we know?
Some, I don't know, some experts.
Okay, it doesn't matter, I'm not gonna go into tech support, but what I'm gonna just run, and you'll have to just come see it later, I guess. So, I've made a build of AndroWish. Okay. Yeah, that might be better. Let's just do that. So this is, I'm going to present it tomorrow, but I have made a Apple Silicon native version of AndroWish. And so that's what's running here. I'll talk about that tomorrow. But I ported the Borg command to it. So Android, AndroWish apps run on Mac. But I've also ported the Bluetooth, the whole spec. So one thing I did add is here under File, there's a new menu called Demos. And their demos is a Bluetooth LED debugger. So I use this app called Light Blue, which is a famous Bluetooth debugging app commercial. And I wanted to write the same thing within TK. It would be a way to exercise the Bluetooth interface to make sure it works. So I just hit start scan here, and it's finding Bluetooth devices. Most of them are anonymous, so you can, it's going to use an async connect to get its name from each one. But this I definitely can't put on the screen. But this is an iPad mini, which is a 32-bit device running iOS 9, running TickleTK.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And running Bluetooth.
That's cool.
Okay. So, and it's serviceable. The thing on TickleTK we tend to forget is it was the competitor to Windows 3.1. And it was made to run on quite slow by today hardware. And this is essentially a Windows 3.1 competitor, right? So there's that, and then this is a current, this is an iOS 12 device, and I've got it there as well. Okay, the screen's just gone crazy. Okay, I'll do, okay. So here it is, and my devices are here, and I can tap on a device, for example, and I can't actually connect to one of your iPhones because I don't have the rights to. But my demo is to pull out a scale, hit scan, and you can invite and subscribe and watch your device. And so basically debug what your Bluetooth program is going to be inside this competitor. And this is now part of the distribution. So that's three lightning demos in one. I'm done. All the PDFs for all this will be in the box. And stay tomorrow for more.
Sean Buckham. Okay, so any questions?
So how is Apple, because the whole kind of Apple's ecosystem, I guess you have to use post-flight, right? they're not letting
okay, so
shows.
His question is how, so Christian Werner's main reason, I've been lobbying him for years to do an iOS version, and he said he doesn't want to because of the freedom issues, and he's absolutely right. And I feel very strongly about that too. He's on the board of Creative Commons, and that's my thing as well. I will present tomorrow something called iSideload, which is as close as I can get Android sideloading with iOS devices. Okay, so what it means is if you're willing to pay $99 yourself as the programmer, then you can have 100 users out there without any problems, right? And that's really very easy. So I'm trying, I've got it working. I can show you later on here. It's a little taskbar thing. At the moment, it's working by you plug the device in the USB, it registers the UDID, and then it's good. Now then it tells Apple. What I'm working on, and I almost have working, is a QR code method, where what happens is this runs a web server. It gives you a QR code. You scan the QR code with your iOS device. You photograph it. It sends you to a web server where you send your UDID to the server.
Gotcha.
It then tells Apple about your UDID. And then you do it again to get the IPA. It signs it with that and then gives you another QR code, which you scan. It then impersonates the iTunes Music Store and gives you the thing. But this is all legit Apple approach.
Absolutely, no. So, jailbroken
this
iPhone XR.
This is jailbroken?
Yeah.
This is not. You can't jailbroke a contemporary device.
Yeah.
I'll tell you more about it tomorrow.
Sure.
So that's the 100. I don't know if Apple will approve of my stuff.
Yeah.
I don't care to find out. I don't care to have you have to fight them.
Yeah.
So the other approach, and I almost have it working, is if you don't give them any money, each person can self-certify and use the app for 7 days.
Yeah.
If you're on the same Wi-Fi, every 7 days it'll automatically push the thing to you. And the hack I've got is a little bit of code that gets into your certification so that when you run the app, it tells the server the iPad is currently unlocked and pushes the app update right that moment.
Okay.
So that's a quick
something I'm interested in.
That is not written in Tickle, but I didn't see the point in doing Tickle TK on iOS if we couldn't actually load the devices.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
That was kind of a micro presentation in itself.
Oh, great, it's great, thank you.
Go ahead.
So the Bluetooth stuff is working only on Android and
I don't have it on Windows or Linux currently, if that's what you're asking.
Yes.
Now, I haven't done it yet for that. Linux with Blues looks doable.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking about that. Windows is a kind of disaster with Bluetooth. I don't know if I want the pain.
BLE in general is a disaster, and then Windows disaster on top.
This what shocked me is actually this kind of ugly thing, which is core Bluetooth on top of the Android code, is way more reliable than it is on Android.
Okay.
The Apple Bluetooth is working
good.
Better.
John Buchan.
Thank you.